And folks, that's why you never tell anyone to stop shooting the basketball. Re-speaking with the Big Three to lift UVA onto the semifinals with a victory over Syracuse 72-69. Coach?
Love it.
Coach, you know what? T-Dubs just said he feels so badly because Dougie Fresh can't be on the show right now.
I mean, that's his boy. And, I mean, what was he up to that point? Had he made a
0-5. He was 0-5 and 0-3.
And, you know, Q's wasn't respecting that. So when we were out there, it was like 5-on-4 on defense. They were not respecting Reese from the perimeter. And so for him to hit the game winner, it's just beautiful. And you love the confidence that he can carry into the next game or to the NCAA tournament or whatever.
Yeah, no. Farish, you and T-Dubs were talking earlier throughout the game. I was watching the game in another room. But you guys, as I popped in here late, you guys were basically saying what was going to happen. The press was going to come. Reese was going to turn the ball over in the press. And Reese was going to hit the big three to win it.
Hit the big three. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You've been around enough basketball, right? And T-Dubs, you've been around enough. All three of you have been around enough UVA basketball. And especially the UVA Syracuse game is always a little bit scary when you see that press.
We know that press is coming, especially at the end of the game when, you know, backs against the wall, you know, timeout, the press is next. And who are they going to target? Reese, right? The freshman. They've been doing it all game. He just made him pay when it really mattered.
Yep.
I'm watching it for the fourth time.
that was awesome.
And it was great penetration and great ball movement. And what opened everything up for him was the fact that you had Trey who hit two late threes. Sammy was starting to get hot. Right. And Jay is out there. And when you attack that and you play those three guys and Pihei makes a great penetrating pass, someone's going to be open.
Yeah.
Right. And they just decide to leave Reese open and roll the dice.
And they've been doing it all game.
All game.
And it was great decision making by Kihei there. Like Kihei could have easily taken that himself and it wouldn't have been surprising, but he found the open Beekman, which, I mean, that's a tough spot for your point guard because this is a guy that hasn't hit anything yet today. And so do you take that shot yourself? Do you pass it? He had the confidence in his teammates. So that's just so good for these guys moving forward from a team standpoint.
Yeah.
Sammy Hauser, 3-for-10 from three. Trey Murphy, 3-for-11 from three. Jay did not attempt a three, but he was 4-for-5 from the floor. And they both started getting hot in the end, right? Sammy started hitting a couple of shots. Trey, 2 huge threes late and a huge deflection that led to a steal. Got to talk about his contribution in the end. Coach, your guy would have gotten into the score books had it not been for – I want to talk about the referees late.
Oh, man.
I thought we got the shaft late. There was a call. Sammy got hit, got bumped. That there led was a shot clock violation. Buddy Boeheim comes down the other end, hardly gets touched. And I rarely complain about the refs. I've learned I was a horrible coach when it came to complaining about referees when I first started doing this thing. And I've learned that as much as I don't like refs, and we, of course, have a different perspective and we have replay, so it's a lot easier for us. But in both those cases, Sammy gets banged, no foul, shot clock violation. Boeheim comes down. I didn't see a touch, maybe a little bit by Trey Murphy. Goes to the free throw line, knocks down two. When the referees can dictate the game and control what happens and manage it instead of letting the players decide, that's when I have a problem.
I mean, it was tough. There was three like super ticky-tacky fouls down the stretch there where it's like, where was the contact? Because the guy was defending a head nod and was like, what's up? And Jamie Lucky's blowing the whistle. That was really frustrating. I'm glad that wasn't the difference in the game. I hate being one of those fans that complains about the fouls, but
I think in this case, it could have been the difference in the game. When you talk about the offensive foul Jay Huff got when the defensive player jumped in the air and he made the pass to your guy who would have gotten an and-one because he made the layup and he got fouled.
Right. That looked like bad calls.
Those three calls determine this game.
Yeah, no, they did. It's a conspiracy theory. More teams in the tournament means more money for the ACC.
But I mean, I think Q's is in. I mean, I think Q's probably deserves to be in. I'm not a bracketologist. I didn't study bracketology at UVA, but they probably should make it. They don't need today. So, I mean, Buddy Boeheim's good. I hope they get in because I look forward to watching him because he can be a pretty fun player to watch. But I mean, he and his teammates got some calls that they absolutely did not deserve.
Ferris, what would you have done to slow down Buddy Boeheim?
Oh my gosh. I don't think you could have done anything to slow that. That dude was just hitting shots. I mean, he missed his share, but ooh. I mean, I would maybe fake like hey Reese, just get into him. Guard him, face guard him, make sure he doesn't touch the ball, but that he rise over any of our guys too. He was doing everything possible to hit shots. I mean, shoot, he had almost half their points. So I mean, if the dude's on, the dude's on. I mean, good offense.
Good defense. I like the adjustment of putting Trey on him at the end. I know, absolutely. I know they screened in the get, but like they needed Trey on him the play before that one because he was getting shots over top of our guard. So,
absolutely.
I will say PTSD from Chicago Elite Eight when they went to that. I mean, the press was coming when that started. I wanted to turn off the game. I was just like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm done.
You wonder why Q doesn't press all 40 because
seriously,
it's very effective against us. I mean, yes. And I don't know what the turnover percentage is, but it's more than when they're just playing a half court defense.
We just look uncomfortable. Like it just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is this the blueprint to beat UVA? Do teams look at this now and be like, maybe press them for 40 minutes?
Blueprint, Ferris. But you know, but you're right. Uncomfortable is the right word. We had struggled taking the ball out. Yeah. I knew that was a 5-second call.
Yeah, it was.
Ball out of bounds. I thought that was 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're getting the ball in bounds. Once we got the ball in bounds, here's two things that we did that worked. When Kihei was in the middle, he flashed all the way to the basketball.
Yeah.
Right. And we were able to get the ball court. When Sam was in the middle, he flashed all the way to the basketball. Right. And we may be able to show something, a video with that later, T-Dubs.
Yeah,
maybe should. Later in the post game, or we'll record it and show it later. And that's the difference. Reese did not step to the basketball and almost the ball was almost stolen. And then he made a lazy pass from there.
Yeah, got right? tipped.
And they got deflected. And I thought he could have looked the other way. It was open. I also thought Sammy Hauser could have looked the other way. But again, we are in the comfort of our living rooms.
Absolutely.
Not having to make a quick decision in a New York, I'm not going to say a New York minute. I'm going to say a New York second.
Yeah.
In a very, very chaotic environment where people are running at you. You don't have time to like, oh, let me guess. Let me think about this for 25 seconds. I can look this way. If this way is not available, I can look this way. If this way is not available, I can. No.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I get that people want to be critical about with these guys. It is. I've been in those situations, right, where you have to make quick decisions and being pressed. And I also know what it means to press. But again, one of the ways you beat it is stepping toward the ball. The hugest concerning thing I have with the press is getting the ball in bounds. We are struggling to get the ball in bounds.
I'm so glad Pete Gillen isn't our coach because we would not have had those two timeouts that we had to call
right at the end.
And the game would have ended then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Ferris, do you plan on being in touch with the coaching staff and saying we've developed some out of bounds plays for you?
We played Portland State full court presses for 40 minutes. They're like that. I mean, we've developed, you know, I mean, I can give my insight, you know, I'm pretty experienced my couple months being coach, you know. I think.
Wait a minute. Here's what you guys taught me. Let me teach it back to you guys.
Exactly. it's crazy. That press is, Reese is a freshman too. We forget that. So, that's probably the first time he's seen the Syracuse press like that because the first game wasn't even close for them to even
think. Didn't even bother.
Shoot.
Yeah. You're right. You're almost at a disadvantage where if you only have three players on one side of the half court, on the ball side of half court, and one guy on the other side against four, that's tough. That's tough to get the ball in bounds.
It is.
Right. Have you guys seen any other teams with press breaks recently? Do you have you ever seen them like huddle up like a football team, and they line up four guys out of bounds next to the guy taking the ball out of bounds?
Did that the other day. They ran a football play. Illinois. It was against like Wisconsin or something.
I've seen two teams do it.
Yeah. You don't know where they're going.
It's like the receivers are running different routes, and they could be going anywhere.
One guy's
going. It was very effective.
It is, because you like everyone's on the baseline, and you just don't know where they're going. It is. Maybe we should.
The few times I saw it run, the offensive team was able to get the ball into bounds so easily.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We'll ask maybe Dougie Fresh in his consultant role can convince DB to run something like that. All right, Phony, you said the big three, Sammy, Jay, Trey, were going to have to score 45 points for us to win, I believe.
That was to win the national championship. But, I mean, I think just in terms of success, yeah. So what did they end up at?
49.
There you go. And we won. So, again, it's flawless.
I think we have to, right? And especially if you're only going to get 10 points from your bench, although Kihei stepped in with 10 points. But we didn't shoot the ball well, right? 31% from three. But again, Sammy Hauser, 3-for-10. Trey Murphy, 3-for-11, both from three. Kihei actually shot 2-for-5, and so did Tomas, which is 40%, which is great. If we're not playing Syracuse, we may be back in Charlottesville.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, look, every game is just a different experience, and I don't know that you can compare playing Syracuse to playing anybody else in the league or the rest of the NCAA. It's such a different experience for a team. So, again, I think they figured some things out in the second half, and those three guys came through, and if those guys are doing what they can do, and we needed Murphy coming through down the stretch, if those three guys are doing that, then we can hang with pretty much anyone. Baylor and Gonzaga are still a little iffy. I'd rather somebody else take them out before we have to meet them in the postseason. But pretty much anyone else, I feel like we've got a puncher's chance.
I think that if we have, you know, these three guys always, I've been saying this for a while, and I think everybody, not that it's ingenious, if we have these three guys scoring and we get contribution from one or two other guys, we've got this team has a chance. But we can't shoot, not shooting, you know, 6-for-21 or 6-for-21 between Trey and
Sam.
Right. Sam and Trey, yeah. Up next, winner of Miami, Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Which is about to kick off right now.
What were you saying, Forrest? Miami has seven scholarship players.
Miami has seven scholarship players. And
they've been down to seven for a while.
Season right now.
I mean, is that the buddy, similar to the Buddy Boeheim effect of you don't have to look over your shoulder, you're not coming out. Yeah. I mean, there's no coming out.
Right.
So you play with like crazy everyone, confidence.
Yeah. At that point when there's only seven of them.
Now they're really, I mean, they're 2-0. They're in postseason. So I mean, shoot, teams that have everything to like, they're just playing to play at this point. I mean, it's hard to, they're just kids balling right now. No pressure on them, nothing.
I'm sorry, Ferris, I cut you off. What were you saying?
I was just saying they're not supposed to be here. So they're just playing with zero pressure. And that's how you always want to play, because that's how you play your best. Zero pressure, just go out there and play basketball.
At what point does exhaustion creep in?
I'd say the third, they're playing their third game right now in 3 days. So I think this is the game where you see some exhausted, some tired, especially with seven scholarship players. Like, I think you'll see some tired legs today. If they make it past today, oh my gosh, they might need some like IVs all night for tomorrow. So I think the third game is when you see some exhaustion creep in.
I mean, if Virginia is not going to win it, that's the team I want to win it. I love cheering for an underdog. And, you know, when Larrañaga came to the ACC, it was kind of curious because he was already an older coach. And it's like, okay, he's just trying to collect a paycheck at the end of his career. But he's had a lot of success there. And even on a down year, they're a dangerous team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and Isaiah Wong played 39 minutes, their star player, 39 minutes last game, 37 minutes the game prior. He's going to have his hands full with a rested Jose Alvarado.
Yep. No doubt. I mean, I expect Georgia Tech to win that game. So, and then Georgia Tech, man, Georgia Tech, UVA, they've had two great chances to get the dub over us. Should have gotten the dub maybe one of those times. So, if not both. So, that'll be a great game, too.
Can we talk about Kihei's game today? Because I thought he had some really good decision-making. There were a lot of times where I thought he could have called his own number, and maybe some previous games maybe he would have, but he made that extra pass. He took good shots. He didn't make all of them, but I think the shots he took today were well-timed, and they were good decisions on his part.
Yeah, no, he played a great game. That last play epitomizes it. Like
10 points, 6 assists, very strong game. 4-for-9 shooting. Right, yeah. Just under 50%, 2-for-5 from 3.
Austin second, but really good, I mean, good decision. I would say both games against Syracuse, Kihei really, really plays well against that zone. He like picks it apart.
Oh, he definitely likes the zone.
Yeah, he is our best passer out of the high post.
Yeah. Question. I was bummed we didn't see more Jay. We didn't see enough Jay in that high post.
Yeah, we saw Jay a few times in the first half out of the high post. I'm surprised they didn't switch it up as much in the second half because I think that kind of keeps Q's on their toes.
The thing, if you put Jay in that high post, you key on him as a scorer, he's not going to be a great passer. And he's going to, if he passes out to Reese or Kihei, we haven't been getting anything from those two guys.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, and that's, I'm not, if you got Jay in high post, you can't have both Reese and Kihei in there at the same time. He needs to have, you know, more offensive minded help.
Right.
Well, yeah, Sam and Trey.
Same problem though. Same issue.
Yeah.
Right. And if they only can, if you only have time to look one way, especially if they get double teamed or trapped or collapsed on, they only have a chance to look one way. What are you getting out of it? Where instead, if you put Reese Kihei in there, and Justin actually did a really nice job in there, by the way, Coach. You put Kihei in there. He can look around. The only thing, and they're backed off of him. They're sagging off of him, even when he catches the ball in the high post. I think if we were to play them again, who knows? Maybe in the tournament, probably not. But if whoever goes in there, if it's a guard that they're not trusting, that Syracuse is going to sag off, turn around and shoot it. You're in the paint, right? It's not that hard of a shot. And Kihei was playing confidently today. He got the ball a couple times in the paint off that zone and turned and didn't look at the basket. And this defense wasn't within 7 feet of him.
I think this is probably one of Kihei's better games. I'm trying to look at his numbers here. So 10 points, 2 boards, 6 assists to 2 turnovers. I mean, 4-of-9 overall shooting, 2-of-5 from 3. I mean, that's
he did.
Listen, there's he played well, and I think, you know, Sammy and Trey, if they shoot it better, it's not even close. It's a 10-point game.
Yeah.
And so this is not a bad game. I think we were all a little worried, but for a while, but especially T Dubs after Chicago, right? A couple of years ago.
Yeah, seriously, I'll never forget that.
But if they're going to not shoot well, this is not a bad game to do it. You know, Syracuse is not great. They've been proved. They really have improved over the last 3, 4, 5 games, and they just look better. And I think a lot has to do with Boeheim going to the bench. Right. And Buddy playing well the last 2 games. Prior to that, I don't think he was necessarily playing great, but he was playing fine. And Kadir Richmond subbing in. Joe Girard has been getting less time. You know, Joe Girard started getting fewer minutes after the UVA, during that UVA game that they came to Charlottesville, when he walked off the court and got into a little bit of a screaming match with Boeheim, with Coach Boeheim. And since then, Kadir Richmond looked like, I don't know if you guys noticed, he hurt his ankle. I don't remember what game it was, a couple of games ago, late. And he looked like he was hobbling a little bit. I don't think he had his best game.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, he was moving gingerly, and he's becoming a good player. This doesn't have nothing. When you talk about transfers, T-Dub, what I'm hearing from the Syracuse camp is they may have a few trans guys looking to transfer out.
Interesting. I mean, I think every school is going to have –
That's what college basketball is turning into with the one-time transfer rule that's going to pass. Like, shoot, some dude's not happy, all right, peace out, see you later, I'm gonna go do a different school and play immediately. So I mean, this, the transfer market's about to blow up. It's already blown up. Like, shoot, half the teams are still playing, and we've already got hella teams in there. So
there were 35 kids. 35 kids applied to the transfer portal the other day in one day.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
But big names. But now Syracuse is a big time school. Mm-hmm. Once the season's over, you may see guys like Griffin transfer out. Even, and I'm not sure what how it works for him because he's already just transferred in.
Yeah.
Right. But look at his minutes today. His minutes were extremely reduced.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing Garrier, May, just names that I've heard. But do you want to play on a team, and maybe you're fine with it, and maybe you're not. Do you want to play on a team where where the son of the coach is getting every shot, and you know you're not, there's no way you're going to play, right? And Kadir Richmond, I heard his name in the rumored to be in the transfer portal. And what's his relationship with Coach Boeheim, and how much time is he going to get with Joe Girard in front of him, who had been getting bulk the lion's share of the minutes?
Yeah. No, it's tough. Is Buddy a junior? Is he a junior?
Junior. Yeah. So Boeheim, at a minimum, will have 1 year to coach and maybe do it for two more if Buddy decides to stay.
He could do it for two more. That's crazy. That's tough. I mean, if Buddy has the green light to play 40 minutes, then shoot. I mean, and every kid wants to play. No one wants to sit on the bench. That's not anyone's goal. So shoot, with the transfer market, how it is and how you can get waivers, like shoot, anyway, I would transfer too. If I want to play, that's my goal.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, and also, do you, like, you might as well stay in school, right? Yeah. If you're not going to go to the pros, if you're not going to go to the NBA,
yeah,
why leave?
Well, exactly.
Right. Why leave? The job market is really tough.
Yeah.
Right? You can probably, some guys are going to be in school 6 years.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be able to get your PhD by then.
Yeah, no, seriously. A free education to play basketball. What's not to love?
How many guys are, Ferris, you're at Portland. How many guys are transferring from Portland?
Officially, we have like, I think, 5 guys on the portal right now. Unofficially, it's going to end up being the whole team, like, except one guy who's in a master's program. He's going to finish his MBA. But I expect most of them to enter the portal.
That's insane. So what does that do? What is that? How is everyone going to adjust to all of these transfers? Because now the recruiting process is like.
But there's just so much saturation in the transfer market. So anyone like you'll end up like you'll end up with people. It may not be people you want, but you'll end up with people. So, I mean, especially with COVID, like high school basketball is obsolete. Unless you're a top 50 guy, like it's so hard to get recruited right now. There's dead periods. Coaches can't see you. So everyone's hitting the transfer market. That's where you got to recruit from. It's hard. It is what it is. I mean, you feel for those kids that are in high school and just want a chance. But shoot, I mean, this kid played D1 and he's transferring. Yeah, I'm probably going to take him before I take the high school kid right now.
In addition to that, as a college coach, you don't know who's returning.
Yeah, exactly.
Here you go. Here's Hav. Got your
welcome back, Hav. You have no idea who's returning. Yeah. So you could have a roster full of guys. You can't really make an offer right now to a lot of high school kids.
Yeah, you can't. It's so tough. And if you're a new coach and you're trying to build a program and a system, like it's just hard. You got players coming in and out. Like it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Right. That makes me think of Wake Forest, Ferris, who was hit with that situation where they had guys leaving the program last year. Right. And do you want to recruit freshmen?
Yeah.
You want to recruit guys who have experience. You want to recruit guys who have proven themselves and who have shown they can play at this level of basketball versus a first-year freshman guy or a high school kid who hasn't proven himself. Although they did recruit the kid Carter Witt, who was out of high school, right, and started playing virtually as a high school senior, second semester high school senior.
But he was like, he was a good recruit. But like, if you're a fringe recruit, like you could be good, you could be bad. We'll never know because the transfer market's going to take over.
Yep, absolutely. Hav, did you get a chance to see this shot?
Yeah, I did. You know, talk about tough timing. We had a company-wide Zoom call. Literally, you couldn't script it. I was going on during the literally going on as the last play was happening. So I got a chance to see it. I mean, what a moment for that kid. He'll draw a lot of confidence from it. And I know you guys are all covered it already, but I'll say this. I mean, this was a good outcome, I think, for both teams. I know Syracuse would want to win it, but losing to the ACC regular season champs on a last second shot is not a bad loss. I think that I don't necessarily, it doesn't hurt them. You know, they might have edged maybe up on the bubble a little bit closer, depending on what happens. But gutsy win by the Hoos. Incredible performance by Buddy Boeheim, Fresh's third favorite player. And just a great win. You love to see a kid like Reese who's heard the echoes that he can't shoot, and he knocks down the biggest shot of his life, certainly. So good job.
What does that do for you if the other team is completely, like, disrespecting your shot like that, when they're sagging off you all game? What does that do to your mentally? What would be your take on that, Hav?
It's tough. I mean, that's why sports is great, because you get immediate feedback on everything. So the feedback to Reese, and it's been the feedback for the last six or seven games, actually, since we lost to Virginia Tech, the feedback has been, you can't shoot. So, you know, he's had some tough games. He's had some tough stretches. Yeah. He's had games where he shot it and shot it poorly. He's had games where he didn't shoot it and tried to get closer to the basket. you know, does this cure him of not being a great shooter? No, but it does give him confidence moving forward, heading into the tournament, that he can make it. And, you know, I don't know what's been said, and if we've seen post-game comments, it wouldn't surprise me if someone said to him on the coaching staff or a player, they're leaving you open, step into this with confidence and make it. And sometimes that little boost of confidence from a coach or a teammate means a lot. And he took that with confidence. There was no doubt. And you could tell he was really happy when it went in. It was a great moment in UVA basketball.
I'd like to know what the play call was there. Was that, you know, what was it run to get Beekman that shot, knowing that Hughes wasn't going to defend it the same way they would have defended something else?
I would say 90% no way. Also, I would say that Reese's form on that shot was so fluid. It just looked like, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to step into this shot, and I'm just going to let it go. And I don't have pressure. Like, I've been pulling back. I've been hitching. I'm just letting this thing go in a fluid manner. And it was perfect for him. And he was well-balanced. And there was nobody next to him, right? And other times, I mean, nobody. Other times, maybe there was somebody closing out at him or within 5 feet. There was nobody within 15 feet.
Is that a low pressure shot, knowing it's a tie game? If you miss it, it's overtime.
It's right where I was going, Phony. It is a much easier shot to take when you're tied. If you miss, you're going to OT. Now, he's not thinking that at, like, actually while he's shooting it.
Right.
But if someone said to him, Reese, you're open, let it fly, you know, that's a big difference than Reese, you're open, let it fly, and you better make it because we're down one.
Yeah, exactly. No
doubt. You know, that's it. It's just a great moment for Virginia basketball. It's, you know, not at the level of the, you know, Kihei, Mamadi play, but that's a play that kid's going to remember forever, and all fans are going to remember when he hit that shot. Just Absolutely. A great moment.
We got a question from Julie Gustafson. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name. Any comment on Duke's announcement today, Ev? On who's, I mean, he did it in the pregame, but, you know.
Yeah, tough to comment. You know, I don't know all the facts, so I'll start with that. And there's rumors that it was a walk-on kid, and there's rumors that they stayed in a different, you know, they didn't opt to stay in Greensville. They stayed in Durham. There's rumors that the football team has it. Like, there's a lot of rumors out there. What I'll say is it's unfortunate for, obviously, for Duke. It's unfortunate for the ACC. And I'd be really hesitant to place any kind of blame, because unfortunately they're not going to be the last team that gets it. Other teams are going to get us, you know, everyone tonight, say your prayers that it doesn't happen to us or anyone else in the ACC, because you want to see the tournament at full strength. And without Duke in the ACC tournament, it's not as full a tournament. So, you know, I guess I'd say it stinks for Duke. I'm sorry they're out of it, and I hope it doesn't happen to us.
Yeah. I think everyone loves to hate Duke, but you don't want to see it like this. Right.
Right.
A little different. You want to see them lose, but lose on the court, not necessarily in the testing.
That's the tough thing about winning in the tournament this year. As soon as you win, you test, and you have a chance to test positive and shut it down. That's the downside to winning this year.
And what's the mandatory quarantine? Because basically, any team that tests positive now is out of the tournament. Correct?
Yeah, it's tier one. So any player, coach, any of them test positive, everyone's out. Everyone's shut down.
Contact. And it's what, 8 days, 10 days? What is it?
I think it varies by state, but it's usually 7 to 10, somewhere in there.
But it takes anyone out of the Thursday, Friday games next week, or is that when the dance starts, or does it start Saturday, Sunday? What is the schedule?
It starts Tuesday with the play-in games.
Right, the first four, yeah.
Not in the play-in. Yeah, I think Thursday. So, yeah, if you test positive now, your season's done.
Right.
Because you have to have 7 days of negative tests, 7 straight days of negative tests.
So what does the committee do if they have somebody, let's say they said, okay, well, Duke is good enough. They just choose not to put him in now, or they put him in and say, well, you.
Well, Duke's AD said their season's over. So they're not even a question about putting
him. The committee doesn't have to even consider them at this point.
What's interesting, Phony, bring up a good point, is if the minimum is 7 days, you could arguably, if someone tested positive today, play them in a Friday game. Is that right? So it's sort
assuming
of like
they're going to be, assuming they're going to be negative tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, you just got to hope and pray that every team that makes it doesn't get it. It'd be just a shame. It marks up the tournament, and you know, there will be teams that get to take advantage of it because they don't have to play someone as good. But at the end of the day, I think every AD, head coach, every player, every fan wants to see the March Madness in full bloom, and hopefully we get that.
Yep.
So, Phony, if you're Florida State, did you want to play this game, or does it give you an additional day of rest? And does this give you an advantage to win the ACC tournament? And if you know, which could give you a better seeding for the national tournament. Implications.
I think you have an advantage if you make it to the finals, right? You're a little bit more rested. If you're playing tomorrow without having played today, I think you're at a disadvantage. I think tomorrow's game becomes a little bit tougher for them because look how Virginia came out today versus how Cuse was playing. They were comfortable in this arena. They were, you know, kind of in a rhythm. And I think FSU might see that same thing. So they're more likely to be tested tomorrow than they are on Saturday. So if they can make it through tomorrow, I think, yeah, it gives them a big advantage Saturday. But I think it gives them a disadvantage playing tomorrow.
Right. And personally prefer to play 3 games going into the finals, 2 games going into the finals?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I've always been on the side of – you know, these are young kids, they're young athletes, they're highly conditioned kids, they're emotional, so they get up for games. I mean, we always played, I think, better. We had some great runs when I was there. My first year, we played in the finals of the ACC tournament against Georgia Tech. And my last year, we played against Carolina in the finals. You know, were we tired? Was I tired? No. Maybe Corey was a little fatigued, but I think that's overblown to a degree. I mean, people sort of project and try to say that someone's going to be tired based on how they are. Like, these guys are really highly conditioned dudes. If you get 24 hours and you hydrate and you know, get your feet up, you're going to be ready to go. So I'm always in favor of playing more. Five, it'd be tough if you were like BC, you know, having to win 5 to get there. That probably comes into play, but 3 or 4 games, no big deal.
Right. And you look at some of these runs, some of these teams have had, when you go back to, remember the year Syracuse played like quadruple overtime?
That's right. The one caveat. Yeah, totally. The one caveat I'll say is I think if a player has an injury and is not fully back but playing, that is different and that is tough. If you rolled an ankle 3 weeks ago and it's not 100% but you're able to play, that's probably where you see some deficiency from a player with a lot of a lot of minutes on the court. But these kids will be ready. I mean, they'll be flying high and ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah, right. I agree with you, Hav, unless you have somebody who's sick or hurt and beat up. And Farris, you know this well. You were with the program for how many years were you manager? All 4 years. So you were there and you finished 2019 or 2020?
19,
right. So you were for your championship team. You were there with.
Are you wearing your ring now, Farris?
Oh, I'm not. I don't think I've ever worn my ring. I got to keep it safe.
So you were there for Cuse, though, everywhere. Right? Did you happen to go to the game against Chicago?
No. So I was planning on going to the Final Four, but I definitely watched that game. I will say that. But I was not at that game. But that was my first year, and oh my gosh, that was a shock. Like, we were on a roll going into that game, and in that game we were on a roll, and oh my gosh. Just tore our hearts out right there.
Yeah, I don't really
the most tuned in UVA fans I know still say that was way worse than the UMBC game. Because we were right there. We were there at the cusp. And UMBC, we've probably talked about it on this, because Dre was out and, our chances of winning it all were a lot less. But, man, that Q's game, I still have nightmares about it.
6 minutes from the Final Four.
We were looking. I was looking up flights. I was like, okay, I'm gonna book this flight. I'm flying. Exactly. I'm going to Houston or San Antonio, wherever it was. I don't remember.
But going back to the ACC tournaments, and each year you were there, were at four different ACC tournaments.
Yep.
Right. Well, no, I'm sorry. You were. Were you at the ACC tournament in Charlotte and DC? Was it DC?
Yeah, my first year was DC when we lost to DC.
Right. I was at one of those games.
The
next year was Charlotte. No, New York.
I think it was Green.
It wasn't Greensboro. 2016 wasn't Greensboro. It was Charlotte or New York. New York. It was New York.
I don't remember. I don't remember what happened that year.
It was New York. We lost to Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. I was there for that.
Yeah.
And so when you hear the staff talk, right, and you've heard them since 2015, 2016, lost to New York, 2015, lost in the championship to, you said, Duke, was it?
UNC.
UNC, that's the year they won it. 2017, you win it. 2018, you lose to Florida State, right? Mm-hmm. 2019, whatever it was. When you hear the staff talk, is everybody pretty much in, like, we really need to win this, we really want to win it, we want to play? Yeah,
everyone wants to win. It's not necessarily a need. Everyone has the goals set beyond the ACC tournament. So, I mean, UVA has been fortunate enough to where they've had the expectations of making it to a Final Four and stuff. So that's always the goal. But everyone wants to win. I remember when we lost to Florida State my last year, like the mood in the locker room was like, a tough loss, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to move on. So let's use this loss and let's rest up, let's do all the necessary things, and let's make sure we're ready to make this run. So, I mean, that's the end goal. That's always the end goal, to get to the Final Four, win the national championship. So if you win an ACC tournament along the way, that's great, but that's never the goal.
Right, so 2019, lose to Florida State in the semis, mm-hmm. right? How was that different than the previous years? Like, how was that different than losing to UNC in the championship and losing to Notre Dame?
Well, the UNC one, that's a little tougher because that was the championship game. So it's always harder to lose the actual championship game. It's hard to get over that one. But the Notre Dame one, I think that season was like up and down, I think. So we were like very up and down. The Florida State loss, the locker room was surprisingly like calm and no one was overly upset because we all knew what the end goal was. So I mean, O said it best. O said we needed it. I mean, we did. It looks like we did need it. I mean, shoot.
Meaning Coach Orlando Vandross.
Yeah, Coach Orlando Vandross. So, I mean, shoot, it worked out for us. So if that's the recipe to win a national championship, let's do it. Let's go out and lose tomorrow and win a national championship. Let's do it. So if that's the recipe, I'll take it any day.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And I just, you're right. The championship game, if you make it there, it's a little bit different than losing maybe in the quarterfinals or semifinals if you're going to go to the tournament anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. especially when that first year when we lost to UNC, it was a close game. So just losing a close game in the championship just stings a little more for a little longer. But once again, you get over it. You got to get over it because your goal is to get to the final, especially when you have a good team. When you know you have a good team and you're supposed to make it to you're a one seed, two seed, it's just your mind is just set different. You're like, whatever, we lost ACC tournament. You know, all those years we were ACC regular champions. So, you know, whatever, we lost the tournament, but now let's move on. Let's get to the next goal. Let's make a run here.
Yep. Yep. All right. Going back to Georgia Tech versus Miami, I'm sure all four think and believe Georgia Tech is going to beat Miami, right? Miami, who I don't think is, even if they were playing their first or second game, just not as talented as Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, 3-4 really, really good players. Miami's depleted, 7 scholarship guys. Isaiah Wong's terrific, but he's played 76 minutes in 2 nights. That's a lot of basketball on the ball. It's not like he's playing 76 minutes and maybe a 2-guard or a 3-guard. The ball's in his hands often.
Yep.
He has to be tired. Now you got to face Jose Alvarado, who's a very strong defensive player. Defense player of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And he's just tough. He's tough. I like that matchup, actually. Let's assume we're playing Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Third time. We got into a conversation, a text conversation. Phony, you know where I'm going with this. How hard is it to beat a team 3 times? Most people are going to assume it's very hard to beat a team 3 times. Right. You have dissenting information.
All right, I've been arguing this for 3 days now. So statistically, teams that have played another team and beaten another team twice already win at about 71-72% of the rate in the third game. Because the bottom line is, if you've beaten a team twice, chances are you are better than that team and you're going to win. It doesn't mean it's a guarantee. It's 72%. That means 28% of the time the other team is going to win. And if we play Georgia Tech, a team, a very good team. I think they're a great team. I think they're well coached. Pastner may have deserved Coach of the Year over Mike Young, but it's not up for us to discuss. We might lose to them, but chances are, again, if you've beat a team twice already, you're probably better than that team. And Fresh and I have been back and forth, and Fresh hates analytics, and I'm glad Fresh isn't on today because he'd be arguing with me right now. You know, his is all about the eye test and all that. But if you beat a team twice, you're probably better than them. And if you're that closely matched with a team and you've beaten them twice, yeah, you might struggle against them the third time, but you probably struggled against them the first 2 times as well. And, you know, but the thing is, I think we're better than Georgia Tech. I think we're better than Miami, either of these teams. I like our chances against them in the semis, probably more so than I did against Syracuse. Syracuse is a very tough matchup for any team because of the unique challenges that they present. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It looks like it's 9-9 right now with 15 minutes left. And, you know, these guys will just be happy to be playing anyone tomorrow versus going home.
Yep.
Habs, do you want to chime in about how hard it is to beat a team 3 times?
I will. I'll sort of adopt Fresh's stance on this
too. Stand up for him, man. Defend Fresh.
I'll defend Fresh, and I agree with him. And I think anytime you're looking at numbers and percentages, you know, you can manipulate the data, and that is the be all, end all. Those are the results of the data. So I agree, Phony, that that's there. I think the stats might be a little bit misleading because you have teams like if Virginia played BC 3 times, they're going to beat them all 3 times. That's different than playing a team that's more evenly matched. So I get your argument there. I just think mentally, it's hard to beat a team 3 times, especially when you're playing against a team like Georgia Tech, who is number 1, they've got the ACC Player of the Year. Very good. They're a senior-led team. These guys, when they saw the bracket and they saw that they were on our side of the bracket, they were excited. I mean, they have wanted us, and we've beaten them twice. And we'll go back and look at those games. They're very good. You know, they're well coached. They've got really good players, good wings. They're going to do everything they can to beat us, and they're not scared. That is a team that's not scared of us. Some are. Miami, you know, they're depleted. They're down. They would not want to play us. Georgia Tech is chomping at the bit. So this team scares me kind of in the same way that Syracuse did, and that Syracuse is always going to be scary in the tournament. Georgia Tech, I feel like they have been kind of hunting us and wanting us this year, and we've prevailed over them. I think it'll be a close game, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Hoos respond after such an emotional, hard-fought win. But you know, Tony will have the guys ready, and it's going to be a real humdinger.
All right, let's not just give the game to Georgia Tech right yet. Miami up 13-9, at least on my delayed ESPN app.
It's suddenly 15-13, Georgia Tech.
Oh, okay. So Georgia Tech went on a 6-0 run.
Yeah, they're hitting shots. Okay. Shout out to my man Charlie, who referred to Jose Alvarado as a flavor-blasted Kihei Clark. He is basically a bigger version of Kihei. He takes the same kind of shots. He makes the same kind of decisions that fans question Kihei for. And I think it's a great description of him. He's not afraid of the big moment. He doesn't always do what you want at the big moment, but he welcomes it. And, you know, it'll be really interesting to see if those guys go head-to-head once again.
And he plays the air guitar when he hits a couple of threes consecutively. All right, let's look at the other ACC games. Georgia Tech, I think all four of us have Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So sure. There were two other games scheduled. One has been canceled, right? That would have been Florida State and Duke. Let's just for 1 minute imagine that game's played. Who would you guys have liked?
That would have been a great game. That, like, they haven't played this year. Duke is hot. Shoot. That would have been a great game. I think Florida State would have pulled it out, but it would have been really close.
There's another situation where you have a team playing for three straight days.
Yeah. Yeah, right? But they were hot. They were cooking on a roll, and they had everything to play for.
Yeah, you beat a team that's not good your first night, right? Then you play a solid Louisville,
mm-hmm.
right? And then your big guy is starting to play really well.
Yeah.
Mark Williams is starting to play.
He's finally playing in the rotation.
Right. And getting time in the rotation. Right. You think Florida State would have pulled it out, Ferris?
I think so. It would have been really close. I would say it's like 51-49. Like, the odds are so close in that one.
I don't think those two teams are scoring 51 and 49 in a game, but maybe 91-88.
Yeah, 91-88 odds.
Coach? Coach, you are muted right now.
Yeah, sorry. The loser here is us as fans, because I think that would have been a really excellent game. I think Florida State Duke is still a little bit better coached than Florida State. Florida State has the real athletes over Duke this year, which isn't always the case. And, man, I wish we could have seen that game.
And who would you have had pulling it out? Did you hear me?
What's that? No, I didn't.
Who'd you had pulling it out?
I mean, probably Florida State still, because they're just a really good team. But I think it could have gone either way, and it wouldn't have been more than a 5-point game down the stretch.
Yeah, I think Florida State wins that. I think Duke played; they were playing better. They absolutely were getting hot at the right time. They were peaking.
And then the rest of us would be pissed off, because Duke would get a bid just for not losing by a lot to Florida State. And
All right. And in the other quarterfinal?
UNC.
UNC.
UNC over Tech.
Now, UNC winning by 51 points last night?
Right. Hey, Tech needs to be scared. I mean, UNC looked really good last night. They looked like a regular UNC team, not a COVID UNC team, not a pandemic, not this weird, like, everyone questioning the Roy team. They looked good. And look, Notre Dame was putting some stuff together. I mean, Notre Dame looked really good the day before yesterday. And to get to that point and just get demolished the way they did, Virginia Tech should be worried.
Yep.
Ferris, is UNC that good? Or is Notre Dame that bad, or some kind of combination? Or was this one of those nights?
I mean, no, UNC is not 50 points better than Notre Dame, but Notre
Dame. Ferris is going in and out a little bit right now.
Yeah, UNC just played really good basketball yesterday. And I think they're going to continue that today. They're not going to beat Tech by 50, but I'm going to take UNC to win that game.
How sloppy is Tech going to be tonight after not playing for a while, Coach?
Yeah, I feel like they haven't played in months.
Right. They've played two games since the end of January. And the two teams they beat were Miami and Wake Forest. So they have not – and they lost to, Pittsburgh? And I don't remember the other team. The other team was decent, but one of the teams was Pittsburgh. So, you know, we'll see. Is Mike Young that great a coach? Because, again, it was contact tracing, so they've been able to practice. They've been able to try to keep something in play. Yeah, I'm not expecting great things. If they do win, then that's a huge credit to Mike Young as a coach for keeping these guys focused and keeping them performing at a top level.
Yep. Yep. No doubt.
Yeah. No. All right. We are on tomorrow. Big game for us.
What time do we play tomorrow? Anybody know?
6:30. Game is scheduled right now. Game is scheduled for 6:30.
Okay. 6:30.
So we will be on the air at 6:00. Perhaps if we have a guest or two, we may jump on a little bit earlier. So we hope everybody can join us. Thanks so much for joining us today for the pregame, halftime, and postgame show. For Faris Wasim, thanks so much for joining us, Faris, all the way from the West Coast. Coach Phony Bennett, Chris Havlicek, Dougie Fresh, TW, of course, who got a chance to jump on with us. We were so happy about that, and also for being the incredible producer he is. I am Mark Jerome. We will see you all tomorrow.
Go Hoos. You cut me off.